I'm Danny from Riverdale, Bronx, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.
Our mailbox is always open, and from time to time, Soundcheck listeners send in a question that requires some in-depth conversation. We recently got one of those inquiries, and on the line is the inquirer herself, Katie Irish. Hi, Katie. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks so much.
So tell us what your question was.
My question was, what was happening in Bakersfield, California that spawned its own sound in country music that became known as the Bakersfield sound?
Now, are you a country music fan?
I am. I like a lot of different types of music, but I do very much like the Bakersfield sound and Buck Owens and all of that, as well as more traditional country.
Okay. And do you, how did you first encounter this music?
I actually went to college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and so you get acquainted with a lot of country music going to school in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, I have never been to Tulsa, Katie. I am a Brooklyn boy, so I have asked someone whose country music bona fides are a lot stronger than mine to help answer your question. Again, Katie's question is, what is the Bakersfield sound? Why Bakersfield? And Jessie Scott is here with me. She is the director of Hill Country Live, the performance series here in New York and in D.C. that highlights American roots music. So, Jessie, first of all, welcome to Soundcheck.
It's good to be here.
What is the First of all, where is Bakersfield?
Bakersfield is in the San Joaquin Valley in California.
So it's north of L.A. and inland.
And in a growing area, a migrant farmer area, a breadbasket.
Okay. And so what is the Bakersfield sound?
It is an amalgamation of early country that was a counterpoint to what was going on in Nashville at the time, which had started to get sweetened up, be more crooner, be less authentic and earthy.
So you get the string orchestra and the big choir in the background, and the Bakersfield guys were just like really rootsy and twangy and all that kind of stuff.
And to go back sort of before that, to lay the groundwork really for what it is, you have to look at Great Migrations. As so much of our music in America came out of the overlay of the different nationalities that, populated, let's say, the Mississippi Delta or Oklahoma. Well, the Bakersfield sound is a direct migration from the Dust Bowl, from the Okies, going out to California to seek their fortune.
So when our listener Katie mentioned going to school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that is where that Bakersfield sound all the way over in California. That's the area where it comes from originally.
Exactly.
Neat. All right, so give us an example of what we're talking about.
Well, it's very Telecaster-driven.
The brand of guitar. Yeah.
And the fact is that, it started in the honky-tonks. And again, they're migrant farmers. They're really simple lives. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to blow off some steam, and the music was there for that. So going to a honky-tonk in California probably was not populated by drums or bass, primarily pickers. So instead of it being strumming, it was very articulated. And as a call and response, the vocal and the guitar played counterpoint to one another.
Right.
So that's really the quintessential basis for what the Bakersfield sound is.
So give me a song that kind of crystallizes what we're talking about here.
There's a song that is credited from 1954. It's a Louisiana Swing. Let's
All
listen
right.
to it.
This is Bud Hobbs and his Trail Herders.
That bayou baby's running wild, stealing kisses all the while. The love bug bites everyone in spring. Glowworms glowing in the dark, couples necking in the park when they do the Louisiana Swing. All Billy Woods from Bakersfield, yeah. Buck Owens, let's hear from you. In Big Mamou in Louisiana, they play a broken down
down piano, the people always gather round to sing. Now making eyes and holding hands, she's my woman, I'm her man, when we do the Louisiana Sling.
That is Bud Hobbs and his Trail Herders from 1954 with Louisiana Swing. And again, we're trying to answer a question from our listener, Katie, about what is the Bakersfield sound and why Bakersfield? It's where all these Okies, you know, during the Great Dust Bowl migration settled. Who is Buck Owens and why is he so crucial to this sound?
Some of this is credited with the work ethic, the enthusiasm, and the talent some of these folks brought to the table. And Buck was tireless. He was an ambassador for it. He worked all the time. It didn't matter what configuration, didn't matter whether his name was on the marquee or he was part of a combo or he was in the studio. You know, also is credited with bringing it down to Los Angeles to, you know, start populating some of the studios in the Los Angeles area. One of the other really critical factors was the radio station, because KUZZ was heard for the entirety of the San Joaquin Valley. So it wound up really influencing a lot of people.
What a great name for a radio station, too, cuz. So in 1965, Buck Owens and his Buckaroos have the number one song on the country charts with I've Got a Tiger by the Tail. Let's take a listen.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and a turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Film. There ain't no way to slow you down. I'm about as helpless as a leaf in a gale, and it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger.
Buck Owens and his Buckaroos with a number one song from 1965, I've Got a Tiger by the Tail. We're answering our listener Katie's question about the Bakersfield sound, and joining me in the soundcheck studio is Jesse Scott. She's the director of Hill Country Live, the performance series here in New York and in Washington, D.C., that highlights American roots music. So, again, we're answering a question from our listener Katie, and she's still on the line. And Katie, you said before you are a country music fan. I'm just wondering, are you also a Rolling Stones fan?
I am, yes.
Do you know the song, The Girl with the Faraway Eyes?
Yeah, of course.
All right, because, I mean, you know, there's Mick Jagger talking about being, you know, he's in the car and he's driving, listening to gospel music.
I was driving home early Sunday morning through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the colored radio station.
From Bakersfield.
Yep.
So, I mean, the reason I asked Katie that question, Jesse, is that, you know, we may not be going to the Stones right here, right now, but we are going to the Beatles. Why?
I think this is a time immemorial concept that our music, our American music, has been so well embraced and a shrine built to it in Europe before we even recognized its value. A lot of these were local movements, you know. They didn't necessarily cross-pollinate even to other areas of the country, yet that's part of the beauty of how our musics grew in America. But there you have the Rolling Stones and the Beatles paying attention to it and morphing it into the culture, into our culture, by their acknowledgement.
So the Beatles had already cottoned on to what was happening in Bakersfield before most of the rest of America had?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so how do we hear that at play in their album Help?
Well, there's a cover. It's Act Naturally,
which is a Buck Owens song.
We'll make the scene about a man that's sad and lonely and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part and I won't need rehearsing. All I have to do is act naturally. Well, I bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you'll come and see me in the movies. Then I'll know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Well, again, there it is, that don-da-da-da-da. I mean, that's like, I guess, the classic Bakersfield Telecaster guitar sound.
Definitive.
From the Beatles and their 1965 album, Help, their version of the Buck Owens song, Act Naturally. So, Jesse, if Buck Owens is a familiar name on the Bakersfield scene, Merle Haggard is like, you know, the household name. Tell us about him.
He had a very difficult childhood, wound up in jail. Music was the salvation.
So for him, when they termed him outlaw country, he really was outlaw.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As a young man.
No
yeah.
doubt about it. You know, it was tough back in those days. There really was no grounding to your family. If the tumbleweed had blown you out, you tried to make it out of the land. Families broke apart. Mm. He was the recipient of, you know, some difficult times. And music was something that he could do that was a positive influence.
So was he like a formative figure, or is he standing on the shoulders of people like, you know, Buck Owens and Bud Hobbs?
There are some people that rose on their own, you know, pulled themselves up
right.
by their bootstraps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Merle is an incredible treasure of an American songwriter. The fact is that this wasn't a machine so much. This wasn't about gatekeepers. This was about being able to put your songs out there and play them in the honky-tonks and create a fan base. This is very old school.
Right.
So Merle was, you know,
people liked him, I guess.
They loved him. He spoke to them.
I'm a Lonesome Fugitive is the name of this song, title track from Merle Haggard's 1967 album.
Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I raised a lot of cane back in my younger days, while Mama used to pray my crops would fail. Now I'm a hunted fugitive with just two ways: outrun the law or spend my life in jail. I'd like to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Merle Haggard and his 1967 album, I'm a Lonesome Fugitive, also the name of that song, another example of the so-called Bakersfield sound from Bakersfield, California, a city in the kind of inland part of the state. It's north of L.A., it's south of Fresno, and, you know, just a really important kind of, like a breadbasket for a certain kind of rootsy, twangy country music. Our listener Katie asking the question, what is the Bakersfield sound? Why Bakersfield? And Jesse Scott here to help answer the question. She's the director of Hill Country Live, the performance series here in New York and down in D.C. that highlights American roots music. And this is part of our occasional series that we call Ask John Schaefer Anything About Music. I needed some help answering this one, which is why Jesse's here. But you can ask your question by leaving it on our website at soundcheck.org, or reach us on Facebook or Twitter, or you can call us at 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612. A woman asked the question. A woman is helping to answer the question. Are there women involved in the Bakersfield sound? So far, we've heard all guys.
Hallelujah, yes. Because for, again, that same egalitarian reason, if you were playing in a honky-tonk and you had a great picker and there was a female vocalist, there was no problem presenting that. Everybody embraced it. And there are many folks that have come out of that tradition. Barbara Mandrell, for one.
Really?
Yeah.
I think of her more as like a pop country kind of singer.
Embedded in her history is the Bakersfield sound.
What about someone like Emmylou Harris?
Totally.
Really?
Because Grant Parsons populated, again, some of the early Grant Parsons and then Flying Burrito Brothers music with these sounds.
And, of course,
he
Grant Parsons
them,
and Emmylou
Harris,
Emmy,
of course.
Having worked together. So who is Jean Shepherd?
Jean Shepherd is one of the first female proponents of the Bakersfield sound.
So this song by Jean Shepherd called A Dear John Letter, this is going back. This is 1953, so this must be pretty near the beginning of the style, of the sound.
It's credited as starting in the 50s. You know, though, the people migrated in the 30s and 40s,
right.
So the cauldron was at work already.
Let's hear Jean Shepherd with A Dear John Letter.
I was overseas in battle when the postman come to me, and he handed me a letter. I was as happy as I could be, for the fighting was all over and the battle had been won. Then I opened up the letter and it started, Dear John.
Dear John. Oh, I hate.
A Dear John letter from 1953 by Jean Shepherd, one of the women associated with the Bakersfield sound. Our listener Katie asked, what is the Bakersfield sound? Why Bakersfield? Katie, how you feeling? Have you you think you got a handle on this now?
I do. Thank you very much.
So the idea, Jesse, that, you know, the Dust Bowl migration, you know, there in the middle of California, had these things coming together, the Western swing, the rockabilly, the honky-tonk saloon sound, it was a pretty kind of, I mean, it was a neat little moment in American music, I guess.
Totally. And I find it so interesting as we look at these different cities that you wouldn't expect to have anything going on, whether you talk Muscle Shoals or you talk Chicago Electric Blues, that they're so born of the moment of the population,
the place,
the migration. You know, they were just going to do it.
Well, Katie, I'm really glad you asked this question because I've learned a lot about Bakersfield and the Bakersfield sound today. So, Katie, thanks for the question.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And Jesse, thanks for the answer.
Thank you.
And here's Dwight Yoakam with a song called Streets of Bakersfield.
Hey, you don't know me, but you don't like me. Say you're careless how I feel. But how many of you that sit and judge me ever walk the streets of Bakersfield?
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.
Spent some time in San Francisco. I spent a night there.